Am I coming through now? There we go. So it's all good. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're finished with cleansing streams, so to speak. You never really finish, but we're going to move on at this point. And we're deciding as an elders team where we want to go, and I thought, let's talk about Jesus. Can't go wrong with that. I said, you know, we could stick on this for a while. Jesus is blank. This is rhetorical right now. How would you finish this sentence? Jesus is. The City Church in Seattle, Washington started this campaign back in 2010 called Jesus is blank. They said we had a simple goal of getting Seattle to think about Jesus rather than criticizing people, trying to change their minds. We just wanted to start a conversation. We knew that if anyone would see Jesus or could see Jesus for who he really is, he'd be irresistible. And so they started this campaign. They had this series of Sunday morning messages on Jesus is. Then they had these bumper sticker magnets. They had a website they started. They had bus signs they put on buses, on billboards all over Seattle, getting people to think about Jesus. They did these social outreach projects called Jesus Is Projects, both locally and then internationally. The response was really, really good, incredible, with people all over the greater Seattle area and either other parts of the country and even around the world taking notice. In German-speaking Switzerland, they put these signs up along streets, bus stops, train stations, wherever people would be on the move. These colorful posters appeared to passerbyers. Now, Jesus ist, that's German, of course. And they had the opportunity to finish the sentence by writing in their own words in the billboards. Little card there with that on it. And so this was going on, all designed to get people talking about Jesus. Then the Jesus is idea took a hold, got a life of its own. And it became more than just a slogan. It became a mission for this church in Seattle and eventually led to this best-selling book. I thought it was interesting, the foreword by Bubba Watson, who was a Masters champion in 2012. I didn't even know the guy was a Christian. I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting. But today this phrase encapsulates what the church is about, their approach towards church and community. So again, they believed their role was to simply start the conversation to point people to Jesus, and he'll take care of it from there. I think that's a great way to look at things. So, question is, Jesus is, how would you finish the sentence? Eventually, everybody that breathes is going to have to finish this sentence. And the answer is your eternal destiny, of course. People have all kinds of answers. Most of these are good answers. Some of them are just a prophet or a good man or not great answers. But the other ones are from the Word of God. But there's a lot of answers that could be Jesus is. So over the next several weeks, we're not sure how long this is going to go yet, New Beginnings will be looking at God's Word to help us fill in the blank, so to speak, on this. This is what Jesus said to Peter. But what about you? He asked. What do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So this morning, in this first of a series of messages, Jesus is, we're looking at Hebrews 13:8. Does anybody know it without looking? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're just going to leave that up there as we get into the message. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning that we can meet here with you, our God. You've looked forward to this time together with your children because you're a good father and you love each of us. You know us completely, and yet you love us. That's amazing. And we thank you for your great love that you've shown us when you sent Jesus. This morning, Father, we thank you that we have your word, that we can read it, because it's truth. We need truth in these days. And so this morning, as we look at your son Jesus and who he is, help us to receive all that you want us to receive this morning. I pray for myself, Lord, that you would speak through me. Lord, I can't teach these people anything. I can't make anything stick, but you can, Holy Spirit, and I'm asking for your help to do that. I know your words are already anointed. I don't have to ask you to anoint that, but Lord, my lips, I pray you'd anoint them, that all that's said and done would bring glory to Jesus. And help us in our walk with you. We pray this in his name. Amen. Now, there are several scriptures I put out on the table. You don't even have to look them up. Just read what's on the paper. We'll be getting to those as we move along. So, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but we live in a world that's ever-changing. Have you noticed that? Kind of turbulent at times. I've heard the only constants in life are change, death, and taxes. Yeah, you heard that too, huh? Okay. Our kids' world that they're growing up in now is a lot different than the world I grew up in. I mean, think of the changes that have happened in just a lifetime. Landlines, almost a thing of the past, huh? We still have one. We kind of are not too quick to give it up. How about film cameras? I mean, that was all anybody ever had. Now, does anybody here have a camera with film? No. How about retail stores? You know, it's a place you go to go shopping. Well, a lot of people used to go there, at least. It's amazing. Places are closing up because people buy so much online. And then there's technology. Talk about changes. My goodness. Just as soon as you learn a new app or program or learn your computer, they send you something new, and it's like, oh, no, I got to relearn all this. Nothing stays the same, does it? My poor phone, it's one of those slide jobs, and they're telling me we're going to get a new plan, and I'm going to have to get a new phone. I'm going to have to learn all new things again. It's like, okay, I can do this. Even our bodies are changing constantly. Mine's not, but maybe yours is. Our cells changing all the time. So nothing seems permanent. And for many people, change is a disruption of their comfortable world. It can be good. Change can be good and necessary at times. But it can be stressful and fearful when we move into uncharted areas and territories. So the good news among all the change that we see is that change is not the only constant, or taxes or death. But we serve a God who never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let that sink in. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus' name means Savior. It speaks of his coming to save us from our sins. He took our punishment on the cross, punishment we deserved. He took on himself. So we are declared righteous because we received Jesus. And we're received by God. Christ is not his last name. Christ is a title, meaning anointed one. Or in the Hebrew, the equivalent to anointed one would be Messiah. So Jesus Christ means the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Jesus the anointed one. The Bible declares that Jesus is always good, always loving, and always powerful. No matter how this world changes around us, we can trust that Jesus will remain the same. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus are consistent, constant, and unchanging. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. Period. The truth is, that this scripture is a source of encouragement for us and for other Christians for hundreds and hundreds of years. However, we need discernment even when we read scriptures like this. For instance, when God says he never changes, look at the example of animal sacrifice. Some people might say, well, if God never changes, we should still be killing animals because God never changes. Well, that would be a mistake, first of all. Why? Because God, although he still requires blood to cover sin, he sent Jesus, the perfect Lamb, with a capital L, of God, to shed his blood to cleanse us from our sins once and for all, for all time. So we don't need to be killing animals because Jesus' blood covers our sin. And so it may seem like God has changed, but he hasn't. Do you understand that? Okay. On the other hand, some people say God has changed. He has changed his views on certain things. Prime example would be homosexuality. Some church leaders say it's no longer wrong or sinful. Again, we must examine the Word of God, both Old and New Testament, to know the truth. The truth is, in both cases, God denounces it. In Leviticus 18, 22, it says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." And then Paul, in Romans, in the New Testament, says this, in Romans 1, 24 to 27, "Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to dishonoring their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations with those who are contrary to nature. And men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error." To say God has changed when he has not is deception. Although society and much of the general populace may have changed their views on this, God has not. Listen now. Christian doctrine should not fluctuate with the times because Jesus does not change. Truth does not change. The doctrine of Christ does not change. Listen to these following scriptures. Now I have these scriptures given to you. Psalm 119, 89, then Isaiah 48, and James 1, 17. So if you have one of those three, we'll start with the Psalms passage. Listen to what the Word of the God is saying here.
Psalms 119, 89, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens."
And Isaiah 48.
"The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever."
Stands for how long?
Forever.
Right. James 1:17.
"Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows."
It just doesn't change. The enemy would like us to think that Jesus is wishy-washy. He wants us to question and doubt his constancy and his dependability. If Jesus is no longer saving, bringing deliverance, restoring lives, healing the sick, doing miracles, setting the captives free, then he is no longer the Christ or the Anointed One, which would make him a liar, which he is not. Because he is God. He is changeless, and so is his word changeless. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "All God's promises in him, Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God." All of them. There are many promises in scriptures. Each promise pledges that God will do something or not do something or be done or given or come to pass. These are not flippant promises or casual promises like we might make to someone, but these are from God, and they are rock solid, unequivocal promises that God himself made that he can't take back. Because he is God, he is faithful, and the recipients of these divine promises can have full assurance that what he said he will do and has pledged will indeed be realized and done. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should change his mind. Has he said it? Will he not do it? Or has he spoken it? Will he not fulfill it? And the answer is, of course he will, because he's God. Prime example, I think, in the day we live, is physical healing. Some Christians say this, I just don't know if God wants to heal me. I know he can heal me, but is he willing to heal me? Well, what does the word say? That's where you need to look. That's where we all need to look. What does the word say about God who never changes? Listen, have an ear, what the Spirit says to us through the word about healing. Does he want to heal you? Is he willing? We're going to look at 9 different scriptures, and these are just the tip of the iceberg, folks. So we're going to start with Exodus 15:26.
For I am the God who heals you. In the Hebrew language, Jehovah Rapha is one of God's OT names. Healing is our whole being, spirit, soul, and body.
This is one of the names that God gave himself in the Old Testament. There's several, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, God Provider. He's telling us about himself. And he's saying, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that healeth thee. This is Old Testament covenant fulfilled in Christ. How about Isaiah 53:4-5?
Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried out our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed.
Psalms 107:20.
Sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.
Psalms 103:2-4.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, whom forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion.
And then Jesus himself, fulfilling all these things in his own life and ministry. Matthew 8:16.
When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick.
Matthew 12:15.
But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all.
Luke 6:19.
And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him, and he healed them all.
And then in James, he gives this to the church, James 5:14-15.
Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up.
And 1 Peter 2:24.
He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed.
Thank you. This is our unchanging God. One commentator I was reading said this, and I thought, I'm going to read this as a quote, and I quote, "To suggest that God puts sickness and disease upon your body for any reason whatsoever goes against the word of God that declares, by his stripes we were healed. And to say he puts illness upon your body for a good reason is a works mentality, and you lack a true understanding of his grace. To declare that God has chose not to heal you or a loved one is to call God a liar. It not only declares war against all that Jesus did for us on the whipping post when he took his scourges, but implies that God and his word are not to be trusted, end quote. So, we serve a Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Romans 2:11, it says, God is no respecter of persons. That means he has no favorites, and he shows no favoritism. He doesn't heal this person because he likes Susie better than Johnny. He has no favorites, no respecter of persons. Listen to Mark 5:24-34. Familiar verses.
Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.
Listen to what Peter says in Acts 10:34.
Peter also says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality or favoritism.
Thank you. What Jesus did for this woman with the issue of blood, healed her. He wants to do for you and for me as well. Because he's the same, unchanged and unchangeable Savior. No favorites, no partialitism with him. What we need is what she had, faith. She was speaking and declaring his promises. And we need to do the same to receive, just as this poor woman did, to receive what God has for us. How about Luke 5:13? Who has that scripture?
Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared.
This leper came to Jesus. And if you were a leper back in Jesus' society, they had to stay away. They were social outcasts because of their disease. And he said, Lord, I know you can heal me. He knows he can do it. But are you willing? He said, are you willing? And what does Jesus say? I am willing. The one who shows no partiality or no favoritism. He says, I am willing to do this for you. And he was healed. Jesus is willing and desires us to be whole too, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanged and unchangeable. In conclusion, when he comes again, which he will, because he said he would, he's not going to be wearing the robes of a servant, but the robes of the eternal King of Kings. He'll be dressed in those robes as Lord of Lords. He is the same person who preexisted before he became flesh. He's the same person who walked the dusty roads of Galilee, who turned the water into wine in Cana, and raised Lazarus from the dead, from that tomb. A perfect, unchanging, loving God who became flesh, in the person of the Son, Jesus, died in a cross, on the cross to redeem us. And after his resurrection, he went back to his Father in perfect intimacy. This same Jesus, the same one who lived, died, and rose again, is the same today in his majestic love and grace for sinners like you and me. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and for eternity. Today he lives to make intercession as our mediator at the right hand of God. Isn't that good to know? He's up there on our behalf. And when he comes again, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You know, we may not have control over changes in our lives, but we don't have to fear them. Great things about God and his love is that he will strengthen us and help us to deal with whatever life and the enemy throws our way. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Jesus wants us to lean on him, not ourselves. He wants to not only help us, but to have victory over changes and the unexpected things that come up in our lives. Just remember, he is just as faithful now, today, as he ever has been or will be. And he sits at God's right hand right now on our behalf as our great high priest, interceding as he did yesterday and 100 years ago. So today, claim those promises. Trust in our unchanging Jesus with your life. Invite him to that deep places in your life. Invite him to be intimate and personal with you, in a love relationship with him, and he never disappoints. And lastly, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is eternal, the unchangeable Christ, the anointed Messiah. And I like this. This isn't my words, but I'm going to read it. He is God's last, unchangeable, final word to mankind. I think that's great. Listen again. He is God's last, unchangeable, final word to mankind. Believe on him and his word and be saved, delivered, restored, healed, and set free today. Amen. Father, we just thank you that you are faithful and that you are unchanging. Lord, we need to know this. We need to know it not just in our brains and our heads, but we need to get it from our heads down to our hearts and get it planted in there, knowing that you never change. What you did for the people back as you walked the dusty roads of Galilee, you will do for us today, because you never change. And you don't have favorites. You don't just pick and choose who's going to do this or that. You love us all equally, the same. We can't really understand all this, Lord. But when we read the truth of your word, we know it is true. Help us in this day we live, Lord. So many changes constantly in our lives. Some which are good, some of which are not so good. But we thank you in the midst of it all, you are that unchangeable God and Savior. So whatever is going on in each of our lives today, Father, I pray through your Holy Spirit that you would just touch each person where they need a touch, Lord, where they need encouragement, whether it be physical, emotional, relational. Touch each place, Lord God. Be our healer. Be our Lord today. Thank you. I pray this as we go through this week, Father, we will have opportunity to start a conversation about Jesus, just as that church in Seattle did. And that we would be a good ambassador for you and your kingdom while we live in this earth. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you.